All right, turn in your Bibles today to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus, chapter 15. Do appreciate the good music this morning, and certainly we have been reminded that we're blessed. God is in the blessing business. Exodus, chapter 15. The title today for my message is simply this: Bitter Turns to Better. Bitter Turns to Better. Verse number 22 of chapter 15 of the book of Exodus. The Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." Let's bow today for prayer. Our Father, this morning our hearts have been blessed with a service that we've already enjoyed. And now as we come into thy presence, because of the precious blood of thy Son, and in his name we pray, and seek thy face and thy guidance at this hour. My fathers, we've read the word of God today. I pray the Holy Spirit will see fit to take it and to bless it and meet needs today in human hearts. Now, Father, bless the preaching of the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a case in the Bible where something bitter is turned to better. When we think of something bitter, sometimes we learn by comparison. You know, it's one thing for something to be bitter, and it's another thing for something to be sour. There is a difference. Bitterness is somewhat abhorrent to our taste. When I think of something bitter and something sour, I think of a crab apple, which is bitter. Then I think of a good old dill pickle, which is sour. Now I can handle the dill pickle, but I'm not in the habit of eating crab apples. Now when I was a kid in West Virginia, we used to eat crab apples. In fact, we used to eat about anything we could get. Pawpaws, crab apples, persimmons, rhubarb, poke greens. Oh yeah, we had it all. But we were pretty healthy. You know, you can still live off the land if you have to. But now coming back here to this text, we have here something that was bitter, but God made it better. Could I begin by saying that in chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, there are two places that are mentioned. One place is Marah, which means bitter. And the other place is Elim. Now, it's interesting when you compare those two places. In Marah, we have bitter waters. But in the other place, it was a pleasant environment. It had 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Israel had just come through Marah. They come to Elim. And the contrast was amazing. But yet when you look at those two places, we actually find out that their experience at Marah was better for them than when they got to the other place that was more pleasant as far as environment was concerned. Marah would do Israel more good, and in reality, the experience of Marah would turn out better than Elim, though Elim was a more pleasant place. We understand that Israel, When you read the book of Exodus, we understand that Israel is on its way journeying through the wilderness. God had led them out of Egypt. They're en route to the promised land. And you know the thing that's really amazing about all of this is actually, I know Bible students are aware of this, but actually, if you consider Ramses, Egypt, to the borders of Canaan land, under normal travel condition, we're only talking about an 8 to 10 day journey. But what was an 8 to 10 day journey turned out to be a 40-year wandering. But you see, God had a reason, God had a purpose. When we think of Israel, they had been delivered out of Egypt, and they continually flip-flopped in terms of their spiritual life. Israel was up, Israel was down. Israel had fear one moment, Israel had faith the next moment. Israel would be singing one moment and complaining the next moment. When you begin reading the first part of chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, we find Israel singing. They're singing. They're rejoicing. They've come through the Red Sea. They've seen God's blessings. They are singing, they're rejoicing, but now we see them complaining. You talking about a contrast. Let's keep going. Remember, they were led. And by the way, I want to just give you some good practical points this morning that hopefully God will use to help and encourage you. The Bible is full of great lessons and points that can be applied to make our life better, to turn our bitterness into betterness. Remember something. God led Israel into the wilderness. That says volumes. God led Israel into the wilderness. What does that mean? That means God was in it. That means their trip to the wilderness was in the will of God. My friend, when you stop and think about that, that'll calm a lot of fear. To understand, we may find ourselves in the wilderness, but my friend, if we can trace that to the will of God, we can still be happy in spite of it. God led them into the wilderness. Something else we need to keep in mind. God led them there. Remember something else. It was a wilderness. It was a wilderness. What does that mean? Well, expect trials. Expect trials. What are wildernesses for, in a sense? They were led into a wilderness. Could I suggest this morning that you and I, as God's people, we're wandering through a wilderness? We're in a nasty, wicked world. We're in a place today that is not a friend of God. We're in a wilderness. What do you expect? It's not expected to be easy. The Christian is not expected to find things comfortable, to find life easy, to find everybody friendly. We're in a wilderness. Somebody one time put it like this. They said a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. If our faith cannot be tested, it cannot be trusted. That's true. They're in a wilderness. Remember now, that seems to be a pattern time and time again when it comes to God's people. You find them one moment in a place of blessing, and then you find them later on in a place of challenge. Jesus, after his baptism, was led into the wilderness. I think of Elijah after his victory over the prophets of Baal. Elijah, in the moments after that, is challenged. He is depressed. He's running from Jezebel. But he comes from the mountaintop experience. He finds himself in the wilderness, as it were. My friend, that's the way it is in the Christian life. Bitter waters, however, are turned to better waters. Why? Because they become sweetened. There's a point there. I believe that our bitterness can become better. If we by faith can just simply trust God, because God has a way of taking the bitter things and making them better. He uses things to develop us. He uses experience to make us better. He takes the trials and the troubles of life and He weans us from this world, as it were, from ourselves. He causes us to cling to Him. And when that happens in the life of God's people, we're doing better. We're doing better. Bitter becomes better. And there are three simple points I want to share with you today in the final moments that we've got left to hopefully to prove my point. Number one, bitter becomes better because of the education that is offered. Bitter becomes better because of the examination that is required. Bitter becomes better because of the evidence that is proven. I go back now and I want to visit those points. Bitterness becomes better. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Now let's understand, we're talking now about Israel here. It becomes better because look what Israel learned. Consider the education. The bitterness becomes something that's good, that's better, because it is educational. They learn vital lessons that they could not have learned any other way. You know, some of the greatest lessons of life are learned in the school of hard knocks. Some of the greatest lessons of life are not learned in books, but they're learned in the battles of life. Some of the greatest lessons in life are not learned on our feet, but they're learned on our knees. Some of the greatest blessings of life are not learned on sunshine days. They're learned when it's raining and it's cloudy. The education. What did Israel learn? And my friend, there's some application that can be made to this today. There's not a person that I'm preaching to today that cannot relate to what we're saying. We have our battles, we have our troubles, we have our struggles, we have our wildernesses. There's some education that we will do well to learn. Number one, when we think of education, they learned the problems of the wilderness. That's good education. Learn the problems of the wilderness. Understand this world is not a friend of the believer. There are problems in this wilderness. And we're wise when we learn there are problems in this wilderness. Number two, learn the corruption of human nature. That's another great lesson to learn. Our nature is corrupt. We can't trust ourselves any further than we can throw ourselves. We're weak. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Then he concludes by saying, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he does the right thing. He looks up, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. My friend, there's the answer. Look up. Bitterness becomes better when we learn more about ourselves. I don't care how smart you are, how educated you might be, how experienced you might be, how much you may have learned, and how all the skills you may have developed. Understand this, you and I still were human beings. We're made out of clay. And we're weak. Something else I notice in this passage, you're talking about educational. Israel learned the gracious provision of God. The gracious provision of God. God showed him a tree. Wonderful statement. God showed Moses a tree. We'll say a little bit more about that in a few moments. Educational. Something else they learned. Better not trust self. You better not trust self. 3 days earlier, they were having a sing-spiration. They were on the bank of the river. They'd come through the Red Sea. They were singing. They were rejoicing. Oh, they were having a time. They were on top of it. Look what God has done. We've seen the waters depart or part. We've seen the enemy destroyed. We've come through. Look what God has done. They sing. But their tune changes. They're learning. Trust God daily. That's what they're learning. Trust God daily. See, here's the thing. You and I might be having a perfectly good day today, based upon our standards, that is. Like, what constitutes a good day? Sun shining, that's nice, isn't it? Feel pretty good. Arthritis not acting up too bad today. Don't have a headache. I was able to get a recent bill paid. Went to the doctor. Doctor gave me a pretty good bill of health. We call that a good day. Well, yes, and why not call that a good day? We're human, right? It really helps when things go smooth. But what about tomorrow? Hey, things might change tomorrow. I mean, the clouds may open up tomorrow. We may have a rainy, dreary day all day long. Furthermore, we may develop a pain we never had before. We may get a bad report tomorrow. We may run into a snag. The boss man or boss lady may tell us they don't like our work any longer. We may find ourselves looking for a job. Well, good days can turn to what we call bad days. But there's a lesson to be learned, and that's this. We've got to learn to trust God on a daily basis. We've got to trust Him daily. That's the principle of Scripture. Give me this day my daily bread. Israel had to learn to trust God daily. We cannot camp on yesterday's experiences. We can't make it today on what God did for us yesterday. We need a fresh anointing today. We need God's blessings today. We need to learn to trust Him today. It's a daily trust. God was teaching Israel, trust me daily. Trust me daily. I don't know what might happen tomorrow. But there's one thing for sure, we need to trust God today, though. Bitter becomes better because of the education. I noticed something else. They learned the power of prayer. The power of prayer. All those people come converging in on Moses, and he, poor old Moses, was probably about ready to pull his hair out. Of course, I handle that a little bit differently. They come in on him. Poor Moses, what's he going to do? They're complaining. Constantly. Why did you lead me out of Egypt? Want to go back. Didn't expect it to be this way. They didn't cover this in my ordination, preachers would say. They're complaining. What does Moses do? He did the thing that trust, hopefully you and I will learn to do before we do anything else. He cried out to God. You talking about learning. You talking about education. Learn to cry out to God. We can't handle life. We can't make it on our own. But I'll tell you, we can still cry out to God. And it was when Moses cried out to God that God showed him a tree. And he put that tree in the water, and the water becomes sweet. Learn to cry out to God. Folks, we need to pray more, in other words. We need to cry out to God more. It's okay to cry to one another, but learn to cry to God first. It's okay for us to lay our heads on someone else's shoulder and weep tears. But let's also learn to lay our heads on the shoulder of God and weep tears. Because we have a high priest that's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. We have an understanding Father, don't we? Bitter becomes better because of the education value. They learned the lesson of being weaned from Egypt and trusting and obeying God. They learned that a wilderness is no respecter of persons. And by the way, it isn't. This world is no respecter of persons. Christians suffer just like unsaved people suffer. Christians hurt just like unsaved people hurt. Christians get sick like everybody else. Christians die like everybody else. This world is no respecter of persons. Israel learned that. They were in a wilderness, weren't they? And too many Christian people think, just get saved and you'll have it made. That's far from the truth. Education. Learn that this world is no friend to God's people. Bitter is becoming better. God alone was the answer to their need. They learned that. Also, here's what else they learned. I like this. God is an on-time God. God's on time. God's never late. God's always on time. He always is. Hey, He knows this morning where you and I are camped. He knows what we're dealing with today. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Because don't you realize today the Maker knows more about the creation than the creation does. He knows. God's an on-time God. He let Israel get good and thirsty before He gave them a good drink of cool, refreshing, sweet water. You know what I've learned in life? I've learned that the hungrier we get, the food tastes better. I've learned the thirstier we get, the water tastes better. God knows. His timing is perfect, praise the Lord. His timing is perfect. God will provide. The bitter will become better. It'll get better. Do you know this morning the greatest resource you and I have is the Lord? When are we going to figure that out? He's the greatest resource we have. The Lord is. There was a great missionary. I know many of you are familiar with the name that I'm about to mention. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. There was a lady that was observing Hudson Taylor, who seemed to live from hand to mouth, seemed to have nothing. And that lady made the comment one day. She was talking about the missionary. She said, "This poor man has nobody but God." And let me tell you something this morning. When we have nobody but God, we've got everything we need right there. In fact, we're better off to get to the place to where we realize we have nobody but God. We don't have much health from time to time. We can't depend on how we feel. We can't depend on even the closest of friends because you can't trust them sometimes. We can't depend on our feelings. We see everything constantly shifting. But thank God we can always depend on the Lord. When the Lord can get us to the place in our life to where we realize that He is our ultimate source, He is our ultimate help, then I'll tell you what we're learning. Our education's kicking in. That's what God would teach us. You will know why bitter become better because Israel learned some things. Because of the education involved. Number two, bitter became better for another reason, because it required an examination on the part of Israel. They were tested and proven, weren't they? Tested and proven. And by the way, they didn't like what they saw in themselves either. Some of us, I believe God could probably use us more if we would also have that notion about ourselves, if we'd also look at ourselves candidly, like God would have us to look at ourselves, and not be as impressed in ourselves, and not think too highly of ourselves. Maybe God could use us more. There are some Christians, unfortunately, have a little bit of an air about them. They think that they're God's gift to creation. They think the church can't get along without them. They think they're the rock of Gibraltar. They think they know it all. They've done it all. And a little dose of humility will go a long ways. And I'm telling you something, the bitter can become better when God can get us to the place in our life to where we quit having so much confidence in ourselves and start depending on Him a little bit more. Bitter becomes better. They failed miserably. And the question they asked proved their grade. They made an F. You know what it was? What shall we drink? I said it all. They must have misplaced their history books. You know, I think we're all wise to keep our history books handy. What I mean by that, if we get to the place where we question what God will do, pull out the history book. What has He done? If you think, or I think, that God can't help us now, pull out the history book. Did He help us yesterday? You see, in case of Israel, they needed a refresher course on history. God had provided a path for them. The Lord had brought them through the Red Sea. Now, what was God going to do? Bring them out the wilderness to die? Not hardly. Don't you think that redemption out of Egypt was also to be redemption into Canaan? Thank God this morning, salvation is not deliverance simply from, but it's deliverance unto. It's not simply out of, but it's into Christ. That's the thing that's wonderful about the Lord. It's not simply when God saved us. It's not simply hell is in the rearview mirror, but thank God heaven is in the front mirror. Or glass rather, not mirror. History lesson. Something else that I thought about this, working on this message today. Where? Here's a question. I want you to ponder this question. This might be one of the most important things I'll say this whole sermon. I want to ask a question. At what point of time in Israel's life did God open the Red Sea? The answer is this. It was as they trusted Him to go forward. But let me say this. God doesn't open the Red Sea on a return trip. If they had gone back to Egypt, they'd have still run into the Red Sea, but I guarantee you God wouldn't have opened it for them to go back home. You and I can expect to see the miraculous workings of God in a forward course in our life where we're trusting Him. The Lord doesn't show cowards anything. He's going to show those that are trusting Him to go forward. Bitter becomes better because of what it proved. They learned a lesson about themselves. They learned where they were, what they needed, where they needed to go, and they learned to trust God. Let me throw out a goofy illustration. You'll think it's goofy when I mention it. And I know Hal will laugh because it pertains to a GPS. You're traveling down the road. Think about this. You're traveling down the road. You want to use your GPS. Let's say most of us on these little smartphones we got an automatic GPS system. The only way the GPS system will be effective and to help us, it's when we have the locator on. In other words, the system has to know where we are before the system can direct us to somewhere else. It has to be on. The other day I was coming down the road, and I know you can't text in this state while you're driving, but there is this little neat thing sometimes. You get on there and say, call, blah, 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 call, and they'll call, and that type of thing. I need to check that out. That might even be illegal too, to phone text. Is it? Anybody know? So we're still good to go on that. Anyway, what happened is I got on the phone. In other words, I'm not under conviction yet on that issue. I got on the phone, and I asked, what's her name, Mrs. Cirrus? I try to be polite, call her Miss or Mrs. I said, call, and I gave her a number of someone that I wanted her to call. Well, she came back. She said, I'm sorry, but she says, I don't know. I don't know that name. I don't know that person. And then she said, in fact, I don't even know you. I thought, now how rude can that woman get? Then it dawned on me, the person that I was calling, I had not entered into my address book. Now there's a moral to that story. If you and I can understand ourselves and see ourselves and know where we are, then God can lead us. But it's not until we know that we're lost that God can't do a thing. And that's true of an unsaved person. You're in sin, according to the Bible. You're lost. The starting point is to know where you are, to get to the cross, to be saved by God's grace, to turn your life over to Christ, to be born again, and God will save you. And then He'll get you going in the right direction. And finally, the bitter became better because of the evidence. We've read the account. God showed him a tree. Takes the tree, the limb, puts it into the water, and the water turns sweet. God showed him a tree. How can we visit that precious verse without visiting Calvary? How can we look at the significance of that without thinking of another tree? God showed him a tree. I want to say today that the sweetness of the cross work of Christ can turn the bitterness of your sin, the bitter waters of sin, into the sweet waters of salvation because of the cross of Calvary. That's what makes the difference. Bitter becomes sweet. We read in the book of Genesis, there was a tree in the garden. Man ate of that tree, and life became bitter. But thank God there's another tree that's found in Calvary. When we by faith accept the Christ that died on that tree, thank God bitterness becomes sweet. Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Yes, the cross makes the difference. So much more we could say. The tree was near. Read the account. It was near. God didn't say to Moses, let me lead you now a couple days further in the wilderness and I'm going to show you a tree. No, no. Based upon what the Bible teaches, that tree was in the vicinity of where Moses and Israel was kept. God makes the cross available. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to travel. You don't have to work. The tree is available. Jesus is available to you today if you'll trust Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.